Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I appreciate you being here this morning, and we have been working through a series of messages, and I'm going to read out of Joshua. We've started there each week here recently, but I want you to see our kickoff point. Joshua 1, I'm going to read, but you find Exodus chapter 20. If you want to find Joshua 1 real quick, then you're fancy. We had a gal when I was in high school. Well, I guess it was, back when you used to do the sword drills, and all this stuff. And I swear she had a push-button Bible. By the time she got the reference out, she had it. I just used to get so frustrated. But anyway, you got a push-button Bible, maybe you can find it. I'm going to read this first, Joshua. Of course, again, as a reminder, was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. They had come out, been led out by Moses. They had been brought out in a miraculous way with a high hand, got all the way to the Red Sea, and they thought they were done, they were finished. And God said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Sure enough, the sea spread open, and they went across on dry ground with a wall of water on either side. God did miraculous things, but when they looked over into the promised land, they found out there was giants over there, and they decided they couldn't handle that. Apparently, those giants were bigger than their God. Not true, but that's what they thought. And so they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And again, let me say this, an awful lot of people who are Christians who spend their lives in the wilderness, they've been released from the bondage of sin. But they still wander around in the wilderness because they're not willing to take that step to let God be God in their life. Last week, I spoke on who's your God, and someone said this morning, they said, "I didn't know you were." What did you say there? What did you stop and tell me, Jerry? An Indiana fan, because I'm going, who's your God? I don't worship the Hoosiers, who is your God? I tell you, somebody, we're getting back to season football, some people's gods. Football is some people's God. In Joshua, getting ready to go into the promised land, and he basically goes to tell them the same thing he told him that Moses had told him. He says, "Here's how we're going to live in the promised land. You got to do what I ask you to do. You do what I ask you to do. Everybody's going to be happy. I'm giving you this law for thy sake." Deuteronomy tells us, and it says in Joshua 1, in verse number 5, says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We've read this last few weeks. That's why I didn't have all of you to turn to that. He says, "I'm going to be your God. I will not fail you. I won't forsake you." He says, "Be strong of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them." In other words, he says, this is your land. I'm going to give. We just get to divide it up here yet. It's a done deal. But we're missing out on it because we're not taking advantage of what God has already done. We're not allowing him to be our God, if you will. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou poke those giants in the eyes," no, "poke them in the knees," no, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." It's scary sometimes to follow God. It was scary to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord at the Red Sea. It was scary to walk around the wall of Jericho. Why didn't they pour boiling oil on them? Why didn't they shoot the arrow? Why didn't they do all kinds of things? It's scary. It's scary sometimes to go out on a limb, so to speak, with God and see what he's going to do. But when he's given you his promise, there shouldn't be anything scary about it. We should just go out and do what he called us to do. Well, how do you know to do that? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the... "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." What's that? The word of God. Verse 8 then, famous verse. this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, mutter about it, speak to yourself about it, therein day and night. You know why we got to do it day and night? Because we forget. Have you ever made a determination? Have you ever laid in bed, and said, you know what, tomorrow, this is what I'm going to do. I'm determined. I'm going to do it. When I lay down, all the blood rushes to my head, and that's when I start thinking. How about you? That's when I do a lot of thinking lying in bed. And this is what I'm going to do. Then tomorrow morning, you get up, the sun's shining, it's another day, and somehow you just don't, or you forget. So easy to slip away from those holy vows that we make. And he says, listen, don't let the word of God depart out of thy mouth. You keep speaking to yourself over and over and over again with these things. Why? That thou may, middle verse 8, that thou mayest observe, hedge, make a point to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Just thinking about it isn't good enough either. You've got to do it. Now, I gave this little outline. We have to decide to do the Decalogue, that's the law, distinctly. Not turn to the right hand, not to the left hand, in order to do well. Now, we're not talking about working our way to heaven. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, the victorious Christian life is a day-to-day surrender. Moment by moment, surrender. And we want to have the victory that God has promised us. He promised the Jews victory when they came out of Egypt. But they stopped at the border of the promised land. They didn't see the victory for 40 years. In fact, that generation passed away, missed it. This generation doesn't have to. We don't have to miss it. We can start right now because His mercies are new every morning. So He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. Well, what are we talking about there? Well, He's talking about the law of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Now, if He's our God, this is what we're supposed to do. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He's the one who saved us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, I spoke on that last week, and we have some things we need to talk about yet this week. Let's pray. I'm going to talk on this. Our God is the one we trust. Who do you trust? That's who your God is. Our God is the one we trust. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the faith that can be built up as we study your word. But Lord, I pray that you'll give us exactly what we need. There's people all over this room with all different needs. But Lord, you meet all the needs. And you told us that we need to follow your guidelines. We need to do what you've asked us to do. We need to observe to do. We have to watch out, hedge, protect ourselves from not doing what you've called us to do. We got to keep an eye on the fact that we're doing what we're supposed to do according to your word, because then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's your promise. And I want our folks to see the promises come forth in a great way. So, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Lord, be one here this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that today be the day of their salvation. But we may not speak on it, but Lord, if you know your Holy Spirit can move. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So we are to decide. It's a decision to do. It's not just a decision to think about it. It's not just a decision to give assent to it. It's not just a decision to go and hear about it. It's a decision to do according to all that's written therein. To decide to do it distinctly, to do what he said, how he said. Listen, have you ever had a boss like that? You got to do it his way, no way. I mean, you got to dot the I here, you got to do this, got to do that. Okay, that's a man. This is God. And he has every right to say, this is how we're going to do it. Don't shy to the left. Don't shy to the right. Do exactly what I ask you to do. If we don't do exactly what he asks us to do, then can we really say we're doing it? You remember when you used to tell your kids, do so and so and so and so, and then you come in and they say, well, I did it. Well, did you? Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and didn't do this. Yeah, but I did it. No, you didn't. You didn't do this. You didn't do this, and you didn't do this. Fix it. Then you did it. And somehow, we won't let our kids get away with that, but we think God's supposed to let us get away with that. He says that the first law of success is to make Jehovah our God. God is to be our only God, and he can only be our God if he is our only God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't have him be your God and not do what he says. You can't say, well, he's my God, but I also got something else here I want to throw in. We got to decide that he's our God, and we can't go looking around for other options for a God if he's our God. He has to be our God. Now, what's our God? Well, last week we talked about our God. Last week we mentioned is the one that we're set apart unto. Who gets to give us the orders? Who gets to decide what we do, when we do, and how we do it? Our Lord and Master, our God. The one we keep ourselves for is our God. The one that you say, well, I want to do it just like this because that's what my God wants me to do. Now, I'm not getting on folks about football and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying you can't have a team and go for it and all this kind of stuff, but just be careful. You know, we get ready to go a ball game and we put on the team jersey and the team hat and the team this, and we got the team tag on the front of our car, and we got the team cup holder, and we got the team cup, and we got the, you know, I mean, all that, okay, that's all fine and dandy. But put it all in perspective. Don't let that be your God. Don't let that determine what you do in life. If it's between them and God, God supersedes. Let God be your God. God is the one we're set apart to. We also found out God is the one we serve. God is the one that we serve. God is the ones that we fear. God is the one that we allow to make our decisions for us. Who do you fear? Who do you stand in awe of? Who do you obey? Who do you allow to tell you what to do? Now, kids, you know, we got some teenagers in here. The powers that be are ordained of God, okay? So obey the powers that be. Mom and dad are still your power. You know what? In fact, it says to not obey them, now, as in the Lord. Don't, if they tell you to go rob a store, don't go rob a store, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But they say clean up your room, clean up your room! They say, do the dishes, do the dishes. Because the power that be is ordained of God, and to not obey the powers that are ordained of God is to not obey God. One of the laws is that you're supposed to honor father and mother so that your days may be long on the earth. Who do we obey? That's who our God is. Now, this morning, we'll give you a couple of new things here. Our God. You say, well, who's your God? Who's the one that's running your life? Who's the one that you fear that you know I have to allow them to run my life? This is who God is. Our God is the one that we trust. Our God is the one that we trust. Brother Nathan was talking about it in Sunday school class. In fact, a lot of good things he said kind of led us up to this. Led right into this, even though I didn't know what he was really going to talk about this morning. The Lord, Psalm 23 says, the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll have everything I need. I won't lack anything that's good. He will not withhold any good thing from me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. He's my protector. He's my shield, my buckler, my high tower. The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't get any better than that. The Lord God who created everything, put everything into motion, in him all things consists, keeps it all going. He's the one who's taking care of me. He's the one who's going to lead me beside the still waters and green pastures. He's the one who's going to set a table before my enemies. He's the one who's going to restore my soul. And when I've dwelled, listen, and when surely goodness and mercy, when that's followed me all the days of my life, then I get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord God is my shepherd. See, some people let somebody else be their shepherd. We let somebody else to tell us what to do. We go someplace else looking for provision. Your God is the one you trust to take care of you and get you through life. Let me say that again. This is real kind of practical, right down where the rubber meets the road. You can say God is your God. You can say the Lord is your Lord. But if when it all comes down, who do you really go to take care of you in life? Some of you are your own God. I can prove it. When things get tough, do you go to your knees, the Lord, or do you lay awake all night and worry? I got to get this thing figured out. I got to do this. My soul, what are we going to do? Now watch it. And I know of what I've spoken of because most of you heard the story before. When the panic attack shows up. I've had one. I know what I'm talking about. And you know why we have a panic attack? Because all of a sudden we think the whole world is resting on our shoulders. And if we fail, it all crumbles to pieces. And we've forgotten that the Lord's our shepherd. How about this one? If you're not grateful for what God has done, then you must be giving someone else or someone or something else the credit. And that someone else or that something else is your God. If you're not giving God the credit and you think somebody else took care of it. Huh? Keep quiet. I've had people say, he didn't do that. I was the one who went out and worked. Yeah, but he's the one who gave you the energy to go out and work. He's the one who gave you some place to work. So we get so lost in this realm, we miss it. We miss it. Who do you trust to provide for you? What happens when we lose our job? That doesn't mean God fell off the throne. I know what it's like to lose our job. Now, it's been going on 30 years now, gracious sakes. 1991. 01. 25 years, whatever it is there. I know what it's like not to know where the next meal's coming from. But I also know the peace that comes from that passes all understanding when you give it to the Lord. Exodus 16:11. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. So if you want to follow, you got a push button Bible. Have at it. Exodus 16:11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh. And in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. 16:12. You shall know that I am the Lord. Why? Because he's the one who provided. And it came to pass that an evening the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. Manna means, what is it? You all sat down to a meal like that once in a while. What is it? What is it? And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if God is our God, and we're not out gallivanting doing all kinds of crazy things, we're not using our lunch money for bubble gum. A lot of people waste their money, wonder where their food money goes. Well, you spend it on the lottery ticket. You spend it on the beer. You spend it on the cigarettes. I'm not being mean. Listen, God provides. Listen, I have almost every job I've ever taken, I've started out making less money than I was making before. And when I came here, there was no guarantee of any salary until we could get things up and running. That's okay, because it's not man who provides the funds. It's God who provides our needs. One way or another, God provides, and he does that. He can do that. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Take no thought. Listen, tomorrow will take thought of itself. The evil, you know, sufficient to the evil thereof. You know, you don't need to get into all that stuff. Tomorrow's tomorrow. Just worry about today. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then we wonder. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then somebody goes out and steals a loaf of bread. Well, see what God gave me? He didn't give you that. You took it. Who do you trust to provide? Watch this. Who do you trust for protection? You get scared. I know what scared is, what fear is. I know what fear is like. There was a couple times when I was going door to door up in Chicago. We got in some pretty rough areas. You wonder, what in the world are we going to do? Well, I've been scared. Who do you trust to protect you? Exodus 6:6. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people." Watch verse 7. "And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." God's the one who's going to protect us. God's the one who's going to take care of us. Psalm 3:2 says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art my shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone." Smacked them upside the head, yeah. "Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Give them right there in the kisser. "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." He says, "I can lay down and sleep, for the Lord's my God." See, the problem is not on God's side. The problem is, have we truly, in our heart, given ourselves to God? And we think that's such a scary thing. Why should that be a scary thing? The one who loved you so much that he died for you. "And he that spareth not his own son, shall he not also give us all things?" Go back to Romans 8. Who shall separate you from the love of God? You see, the whole world's falling apart. God's not falling apart. In fact, listen, though heaven and earth pass away, he shall not pass away, neither his words. Psalm 28:6 says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. I had a gal one time, years ago, down where I came from, Westminster, and she says, I'm tired of coming to church. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm tired of going to church with all those hypocrites. And by the way, anybody who accuses the church of being full of hypocrites not only are telling the truth, but are a hypocrite themselves. That's why they know. Everybody walks in church and they smile and shake their hands and everything's fine. And it's not fine. I know it's not fine. Well, I said, well, so you want us all to come in? I want to put on a show. We don't have to put on a show. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know where the answer is going to come from. I have no idea what he's going to do, but he is still my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He prepares the table before my enemies. It's okay. I don't like where I am right now, but it's okay. Everything's falling apart, but he's not. He's a lifter of my face. So come on, Sterling. Come on. It's all right. In fact, if it didn't look like all right, you wouldn't have to trust me. You wouldn't know what it's like to trust me. If I never been, what's the old thing? I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, learned to trust in God. We ought to learn. He's our provider. He's our protection. Psalm 21 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My provider, my protection. Let me give you another one. We should trust him for our perception. I'm kind of pushing my alliteration a little bit, but my perception, our wisdom. Our wisdom. Where do you go to get your wisdom? That's your all-knowing God in your heart. Now think about it. We kind of have a pet peeve around our house. Now, fact is, I've written a book. She's written three. You got another one coming. But you know what they're about? Making sure you understand that. That's all it is. I don't need man's wisdom. I want God's wisdom. Now, I like hearing man give a testimony of what God's done according to his book. I love that. We're supposed to be witnesses unto him. That's part about our salvation. By the way, it's hard to be a good salvation witness if you don't know for sure if you die to go to heaven. How can you sell something you're not sure you got? How can you endorse something you're not sure works? He said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know because it's not Sterling Walls, it's God. I give it to him. And the God who cannot lie has promised us for the foundation of the world. He's promised us our salvation. We need to know, but where do you go to get your wisdom? Do you go to the Word of God? Or do you go to this book and this book and this book and this book? You know, it's amazing how we'll say, well, you know, I can read this and I can read that. The problem is you're getting the other guy's ideas stuck in there a little bit. It's just a little, it may be good stuff, but it's kind of diluted with him or her. Well, say the Bible's hard to understand. So is algebra. So was first grade math when first grade math came around. So was English. They say English is one of the most difficult languages in all the world to learn. But we've been speaking it since we were two. Some better than others. But we've been speaking it. We've been making do. You say, well, I don't understand a lot of those words. There's not that many words in there that you can't understand that you can't learn within a year. I always use this illustration. But they say, well, the kids can't understand that. Ask them how many gigs their hard drive is. We just kind of upgraded our internet at our house, and they were talking about this and that and other thing. I have no idea. But I still got internet. I'm going to work that thing the best I can. I'm going to learn. This is the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved. A workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the Word of God. I was talking to a builder the other day. I was talking to our guy out here. By the way, it's coming along. They pour footers this week. They dig and they pour and they dig, but the way it works, they pour footers. Steel comes in the last week of September, Lord willing. Then you're really going to see this thing go up. But anyway, you just keep praying, keep giving. But anyway, they keep praying. It'll be good. Lord's gracious. But how many builders we have in here, or contractors who've done, you know, building? Okay, we got a few in here. Okay, there you go. All right, we got it. Now I know Lynn's a contractor. Tell me what a floor joist is. It supports the floor, so it goes from one plate to another plate, from one wall to another wall. It's the beam. It's one of those beams. We put them every, 12 inches or every 16 inches on center. Okay. Now, how many people knew what the word joist meant before? How many didn't know what the word joist meant before? How many still don't know what the word joist meant? Okay. Anyway, that's a good word. Now, the fact is, if Lynn, every time he told somebody what to do, and he had to say, okay, we're going to take the boards and we're going to put them from wall to wall. And he doesn't have to do it. Just say, put the floor joist 16 inches. Now, the folks who are contractors say, oh, floor joist 16 inches on center. That's what we'll do. That's no problem. They know exactly what it means. But you know what? There's guys who can do that. They understand all that just because they've used it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. My guess is you'll start learning it by then. We can do this. Your protection, your provision, your perception. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know why we're not understanding the wisdom of God? Because we're not sure that's where wisdom is. Let him ask of God, nothing wavering. You know what we're doing? We said, well, let's go on Sunday and see what the Bible says. But on Monday, we're standing in a grocery store, and they have all those magazines right across the front. You can read them as you're going down. Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Well, there's a rack on the way out the door on Walmart. We'll find some wisdom there. Well, maybe I should listen to Dr. Phil. Sure wish Oprah was still on. Well, we always have the view and the reel and the talk and all that. We can find a lot of wisdom there. Not, you see? Now, hang on. You know what I need to do? I need to go to next door. I think she's a Christian lady. She didn't go to church, but I think she's a Christian lady. I'll ask her what she thinks. Come on. I'm not being mean. I'm not saying you can't have friends. I'm just saying don't turn from the left or from the right. Find the Word of God. Settle on it. Keep it. Mutter it. Observe to do it. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, I'm only just a little bit different. But have you gone to the right or to the left?
then it's not the same.
Dr. Curtis Hudson, who was the former editor of the Sword of the Lord, one of the very last messages he ever preached, and I got to hear him do it. It was that he preached. I know he did this. He did it at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship years ago. Just before he died. And his frail body, but he preached. Things that are different are not the same. He said, "What? Well, we know that. I know that, but we don't live by it. What's the same thing? If it's is it different? Well, yeah, it's different. That's not the same thing. Well, it's close. Then it's close, but it's not the same thing." I like sweet tea. Amen. And there's certain places I like the sweet tea at. And believe it or not, one of the ones I like the most is McDonald's. When you go to these fancy restaurants, they try to do all this fancy stuff with it. And they do that and put this in and that. And I don't like them. I feel like, hold on, I'm going to go down the corner to McDonald's and I'll be right back to eat that with my steak. It's not the same. It's not the same to think. It's not the same to just think about the Word of God as it is to think about it and do it. You understand? It's not the same thing to think that God's your protection as it is to actually let Him be your protection. Now, wait a minute. If he, sometimes when God's being our protection and he's being our shepherd, in the middle of that Psalm 23, he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, you've heard me do it, but the rod and the staff, you know, the rod's got a hook on it, excuse me, Brian. It's to grab a hold of that sheep and give him a little tug. On the other end of that thing, it's got a little knob. I'm going to go there. It's got a little knob. It kind of poke him. When it says that foolishness is bound the heart of the child, it doesn't mean that you're going to beat the child to death with that rod. So the rod of correction shall drive it far from. That's what it was. Listen, the rod limits our options. It corrects us. You have one of those GPS that says recalculating. Recalculating. Anyway, what's it doing? It's correcting our course. That's what God does with the rod and the staff. He's correcting our course. And when we realize He's correcting our course and we realize He's our God, we're happy. We're pleased. We're delighted. We rejoice that He's correcting our course because He knows where we're supposed to be going better than we do. But when He tries to correct us, He tugs us here, He props us here, He does a little motion here, He kind of said, "Get in the right, you know what I'm doing here." And we get mad at Him. You know what we're saying? Somebody else has a better idea about this. Maybe somebody else is as smart as God is. Maybe somebody else has the omniscience and the omnipresence. Who's your God? I'm not going to get the last half. We'll do that next week. He's your protection. He's your provider. He's your perception. That's the bus, folks. They're not mad at me. They're heading down the bus to get out of the way so we can get out on the parking lot here in a few moments. Who's your God? His word shall not pass away. Watch this. The Lord has lifted up His word above His name. God has taken truth and He has put it in black and white. They can all make it out the door. Come over here. I'm picking on you, but they can. He put it in black and white. And our job is to study it and learn it. Mull it over in our head so that we do it. who's your God? The lady next door? The boob on the boob tube? Or the one who created the heavens and the earth? Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in our lives. We need to see you do some great things. There are folks in this room, and probably every one of us have at times have allowed something else, somebody else, to be our God. May we determine now, decide that you're going to be our God. Heads are bowed.